Power of Lake Effect. I'm Mitch Tyke. When Old World Wisconsin was trying to figure out what to do for its first Halloween-themed family event, the staff knew it didn't want to build just another haunted house. Instead, the idea was to create an event that also spoke to what the Living History Museum is all about, celebrating the immigrant experience in Wisconsin. So Old World's Halloween Legends and Lore experience features the folktales and spooky stories immigrants brought with them to the Badger State. Assistant Director Bob Parker tells Lake Effect Stephanie Lutchie, while we frighten each other with ghost stories today, the immigrants had a different reason for telling these tales.
It was a way to reconnect. These were stories that they had heard themselves as children. And so by retelling them and gathering together to retell these stories, they were able to connect themselves with their past. They were able to connect with other immigrant families who had similar backgrounds and could, you know, had these similar kind of stories in their repertoire. So there was a familiarity and comfort that came from telling these stories. It kind of placed them together. It reminded them of who they were or where they had come from, while they were still kind of negotiating all of the strangeness of being in a completely new land and a new experience. Also, it was a way of perhaps shielding themselves. You know, there's a lot of places where they really believe that the stories and the costumes that come with Halloween were donned to protect themselves from the spirits of the night and the spirits of the dead. You know, cold Celtic legends say that, you know, people would put on these horrific costumes in order to make sure that the actual spirits of the dead thought that they were one of them, and so they wouldn't get bothered by them. You know, it was kind of a protective thing in many respects.
Is there a similarity that you see? I mean, can you trace some of the Wisconsin-based legends that you've researched from those legends and lore of the immigrants from their home countries?
Well, I think you can probably find similarities. The folk tales and the folklore that we are telling for our event this year that are coming from Europe, we're really kind of focusing more on the fairy tales and the folklore. You know, we're telling the legends of the banshee. There's a wonderful story about Baba Yaga, the Eastern European or Russian witch or hag or nature goddess that they talk about in that area. We're talking about Jack-O-Lantern, whose name in some folklore is Jack O'Kenton, until he tricks the devil. And because he tricks the devil and he gets a special dispensation from the devil, he'd trick the devil, and the devil agrees that he will not take Jack into hell. And so Jack feels like, well, okay, he's got it made. He can do whatever he wants to, and he doesn't have to worry about going into hell. But then he dies, and St. Peter won't take him into heaven either. So now he can't get into heaven, and he can't get into hell. And so he's cursed to wander the earth as a spirit with only a coal and a pumpkin head to light his way. And so that kind of is the, you know, origin of Jack-O-Lantern. So, we tell those stories. We tell some Grimm's fairy tales, kind of, you know, the original versions, the non-comforting versions so much.
Now, Bob, did you come across any interesting tidbits while you were researching these stories?
I did. I found we found many different stories, and we found many different Halloween poems and all sorts of games and activities that they used to recommend in the 19th century. We found all sorts of fun things. One of my favorite is a poem that I found, and if you don't mind, I'd like to. It's pretty short, and I'd just like to read that for you, so you can kind of get a sense as to some of the fun that they had. This story or this poem is called "Ghosts in the Barn," and it goes like this. The barn's haunted loft is gloomy and still. The spider webs cover the mold. Where sun arrows shoot through holes in the roof and rafters are lined with gold. Hist! Hearken to goblins' footsteps or wings. I hear them so plain, don't you? The ghosts us children find in the barn, they flit around and cry, ooh, ooh. No, sir, it is not the rats in the mow nor noise of the wind that moans. They're ghosts that haunting the old barn loft with awful screeches and groans. We hide and we watch, all holding our breath. We hear and we see them too. By day or by night, when the wind's blowing right, they dodge round and cry, woo, woo. At night they bewitch the horses' long manes. They tangle the harnesses all. They tie the halters in goblins' knots. They let loose a horse in a stall. They swing in the rafters, spiderweb swings. They dance and they drink the dew. They revel all night when it is light, they flit round and cry, woo, woo. And I like that poem because it's such a rural kind of poem with ghosts in the barn. And, of course, you know, we're talking about 19th century Wisconsin. Old World is a museum of the rural experience. And so it fits in beautifully.
I don't want to steal the thunder of any of the performers that will be out at Old World this weekend, but can you maybe give us a sampling, maybe tell us a Wisconsin story that won't necessarily be part of this program, but give us a good old Wisconsin ghost story?
You know, one of the most famous of the Wisconsin stories is the story about the Ridgeway ghost. And a lot of people have heard about him. He kind of roamed the area of southwestern Wisconsin, kind of around the Mineral Point, Dodgeville area, back in the 19th century, and kind of had a reputation as a trickster ghost. He would start people's well pumps running when there was nobody about. They would look out the window and see their well handle, their pump handle going up and down and up and down, and water pouring out, and there would be nobody around. Or he might abscond with a farmer's piece of equipment or chase away horses or something like that. And he often would take the shape, oddly enough, of animals as well. So he was a very multi-talented, multifaceted ghost who could kind of do all sorts of things and kind of help explain all sorts of things that were happening around there. There's a story that goes around that is about, like you said, kind of talks more about his trickster nature. They're coming along a road, and there's a gentleman up ahead of us, and he turns and he says, "Well, hello there. Evening, folks. You're not planning on heading down the road, are you? I wouldn't if I were you. The Ridgeway ghost is active tonight, and you're liable to find yourself in the same situation as I'm in, or worse. But take a look at my wagon. You notice anything missing? That ghost is a prankster, all right. A couple of hours ago, I was heading to the fort for a load of supplies when I came up against a flock of sheep just standing in the road. And no matter what I did, they wouldn't move. I raged at them. I tried to part them with the horse. Nothing. They would not move. So finally I saw a man come out of the trees ahead of the sheep, and he stood in the road staring at me. He seemed to be enjoying my predicament, and no matter how I called to him to move his sheep, he just stood and stared at me. Well, there's only so much a man can take, and I jumped off my wagon and forced my way through the sheep towards him. By God, if he wouldn't move his sheep, then I would move him. But it was tough going, for the sheep didn't part as I approached any more than they'd parted in front of my wagon. I had to force my way through them like I was wading through deep snow. The strangest part was that they made no noise. I heard my own footsteps on the gravel and the wind and my grumbling, but I heard nothing from the sheep, not a bleat, not a baa, not even the sound of their own hooves scrabbling on the gravel as I pushed them aside. Well, I suppose if I had been calmer, I'd have paused when I noticed that, but my blood was up, and every step I took closer to that man, who was just standing and staring at me, fired me up higher and higher. Finally, when I was within about 20 yards of him, he jumped up and ran into the woods. I had never seen anything so cowardly, and I just stood and stared back at the spot where he disappeared into the trees in dumb amazement. And then I noticed that I could no longer feel the pressure of the sheep crowding around my legs. I looked down, and the sheep were gone, all of them. They just vanished like they'd never been there at all. But I don't have to tell you, that shook me. I turned round back to my wagon, and there was the man who a few moments before had jumped into the trees. He was slapping the rear of my horse and screaming like a banshee. Well, my horse just bolted and raced away down the road there with that crazy man riding and slapping and laughing away on top of him. I raced after him as fast as I could, just pure seething rage coursing through my veins. Of course, if I'd had my senses around me, I would have known that there was no way I could catch a galloping horse, no matter how fast I run. But my senses had flown clear out of my head. What made it worse was that the horse thief continued to taunt me every time I slowed down to catch my wind. Well, he could easily have pulled away from me. But every time my spirit began to flag, he would pause my horse and point and laugh until the rage boiled up again and I charged back after him. Well, this went on and on until, just as my heart was about to burst and my legs about to pitch me over, I stumbled through a copse of trees, and there was my horse, standing alone in a meadow, trembling, munching the long grass and watching me approach as if wondering why I hadn't found him sooner. I walked up to him, slow and calm, so he wouldn't spook, expecting that my tormentor would suddenly spring up from the tall grass and race my horse away again. But it never happened. I mounted, started back. I was starting to calm down and feel better until I got back to my wagon and found that every one of my wheels was gone. I screamed and I leapt down from my horse and threw my hat on the ground, and at that moment, my tormentor suddenly reappeared, laughing and laughing, and just as my blood was boiling again, he slapped one hand against his thigh, pointed at my horse with the other hand, and my horse immediately bolted away again down the road and disappeared. So now, here I sit, on a wagon with no wheels and no horse, and I'm afraid to search for either in fear I'll return and find the whole cart gone. And how do I know it was the ghost? Because as my horse disappeared down the road, I saw the ghost vanish as well, just fade away without moving. And even after he was completely gone, I could still hear his mocking laugh.
Well, Bob Parker, thank you for giving me the chills.
All right. Thank you very much for calling.
Bob Parker is assistant director at Old World Wisconsin. He spoke with Stephanie Lecce. The Living History Museum in Eagle will host Halloween Legends and Lore on Friday and Saturday. You'll find all you need to know from a link at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. That's all for today's show. I'm Mitch Teich. So great to have you listening today, and I sure hope you'll be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for another edition of Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. It's 11 o'clock. Fresh air is next.
This is Halloween. This is Halloween. Halloween, 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 Halloween. Halloween.